Hey, Lord Jesus, that you would teach us and that you'd make us teachable servants of yours. Lord, help us to know what communion means and why it matters so much in our Christian walk and in our life as Christians. We ask, dear Father, that you would hear and answer our prayers in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let's stand together for the reading of the Word of God and receive it with believing hearts. This is the inerrant Word of God. But in the following instructions, I do not commend you, because when you come together, it is not for the better, but for the worse. For in the first place, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you. And I believe it in part, for there must be factions among you in order that those who are genuine among you may be recognized. When you come together, it is not the Lord's Supper that you eat. For in eating, each one goes ahead with his own meal. One goes hungry, another gets drunk. What? Do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and humiliate those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I commend you in this? No, I will not. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way also he took the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. This is why many of you are weak and ill, and some have died. But if we judged ourselves truly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined, so that we may not be condemned along with the world. So then, my brothers, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. If anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, so that when you come together, it will not be for judgment. About the other things, I will give directions when I come. You may be seated. So far, the reading of God's Word. May add his blessing to it. I encourage you to keep the Bible and the Catechism available on the message, Holding Hands. Dear congregation of Christ, brothers and sisters in the Lord, friends of our church family, do you have what it takes? Do you have what it takes when you're leaving the party again as a guy and a gal, leaving your boyfriend or girlfriend behind, and you're fighting the temptation to go back and hold hands longer than you know you really should? Do you have what it takes after another difficult day and another long night as a widow or a widower who just wishes for one more time you could go to sleep holding the hand of your spouse, or just be driving along for a Saturday afternoon holding hands with your husband or your wife? Do you have what it takes when you are in a distant marriage? You're busy, and you're just not connecting like you should as a husband and as a wife. My brothers and sisters, you have what it takes. You have what it takes to walk by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ because you have, in communion now at the table of the Lord, Jesus Christ holding hands with you. Holding hands with you. Communion is the physical form of Jesus' love for you and for me. And I appreciate the word of the Lord as Jesus Christ holds hands with his bride, the church, in and at communion. That's one of the significant teachings of communion. My brothers and sisters, as the catechism talks about that, we are bone of our Savior's bone and flesh of his flesh. Jesus wants you to feel his wounded hand holding yours as the bride of Jesus Christ. We want to see together, remembering our Savior as he holds hands with us and his presence holding hands with us and the community of faith holding hands with him and together, and then how that applies to our lives. First of all, Jesus Christ says to the Apostle Paul, share with the church at Corinth, verse 23, you with me there, for I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In remembrance. Remembering, dear friends, in the scriptures is always about reliving the story of God. Remembering Jesus Christ means we are reliving the story of Jesus Christ's love. God is called to act in remembrance of his promises, and we're called to act in remembering those promises sealed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, dear friends, we do this all the time as Americans. For instance, you hear someone read the Gettysburg Address, and what are you doing? You're reliving the story of America. You're reliving the story of what it means to be an American. These stories we tell each other, right? And the Gettysburg Address, for instance, shapes our values. The past shapes the present. And it's the same thing going on in the communion service. As we take the bread, as we drink the wine, we are reliving, as it were, the story. We're going back in time. It's as if we were there. We were at the Lord's Supper along with the disciples. And Jesus holds out the bread, and Jesus provides the wine. So that past is shaping this present moment. Remembering is about reliving God's story. And I'll tell you why that's so important, because we're so forgetful. We're called to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. We're called to love him with all of our hearts. We're called to trust him in those moments of trial and temptation we just talked about. But why don't I? Why don't you? Two words, memory, failure. Memory, failure. And Jesus Christ shows up by his Spirit into the table of the Lord to hold your hand again because you've forgotten. You've forgotten to live by the story. And I'm just going to mention in passing, you are being shaped by a story. It's the world story or the story of Jesus. You can't get away from it. What story are you being shaped by? What past is shaping your present? Are you going to be shaped and molded by the story of Jesus Christ? Communion is about reliving that story of the Lord Jesus Christ. What story is that? That he's shedding his blood and he's pouring out his passionate love for us. His body is broken at Calvary's tree. For what? For him to pass out of judgment into everlasting life in the kingdom of his Father in heaven. Passing out of death into life. So that he names the moment and the place when you pass with him out of judgment into justification by faith alone. When you pass out of death into everlasting life. When you were not forgotten by him, but forgiven at the cross. Communion helps us relive that story. Jesus Christ is writing and telling to jog our memory failure. And remember, dear friends, that Jesus Christ never forgets you. remember. That's what we're doing. And when you do this in remembrance of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are remembering that Jesus Christ never suffers memory failure, does he? His memory never fails him. He never forgets what? That you belong to him. That you are his bride, his church, and he's holding on to you with his hand of love. We are reminded that Jesus Christ hasn't forgotten. Brothers and sisters, I want you to think about that, because you know what sin does in our lives? Sin leaves this memory on your heart and mind. Your sins leave this memory in your life, and it does mine too, because sin smells. Have you ever thought about that? And why grace smells too? It might be alcohol, and you go back in time, and you remember how you sinned against the Lord. It may be a cologne or perfume, and you're back in time, and you remember how you sinned against the Lord. But as we remember our sins, dear friends, we are reminded that grace smells too. What does it smell like? It smells like bread. Get a good whiff of it, and get a good whiff of wine. I know it's grape juice, but get a good whiff of it to know that the grace of Jesus Christ is greater than all of those sins, and that he's washed them and washed you as white as snow. Remember the story. Remember that you're never forgotten when life just beats you up to a pulp. God has not forgotten you. And remember that he is always reminded of how he forgives you, to remind you that you are forgiven by faith alone. Zig Ziglar gives this quote. I read it in a book recently. Zig Ziglar says this, that there's bad news and good news. The Bible tells us bad news and it tells us good news. And we're reminded of these significant truths whenever we come to the table of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ is that, you know, there's nothing so bad that you've ever done that can keep you out of heaven. No matter what you did, no matter how bad it is, it cannot keep you out of heaven. Bad news is, no matter what good you've ever done, or I've ever done, can ever get us into heaven. It's only by the finished work of Jesus Christ, who is present, spiritually present in the table of his love. Jesus sits with you, he stands with you, and he sits with us here at the table of the Lord. This is, verse 24 of the text, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And we read it earlier in the catechism, appealing to, quoting from 1 Corinthians chapter 10. For instance, at verse 16, if you look that up with me, page 1656, the cup of blessing that we bless, is it not a participation? It's not just remembering that God remembers us and that we are to remember him. Is it not a participation? It's literally a koinonia. It's fellowship, togetherness within the blood of Jesus Christ. The bread that we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? And this is where we part companies with the Roman Catholic Church, for instance, and where we also part companies with other with faithful churches of our Lord Jesus Christ, like the Lutheran Christians or Methodist Christians, for instance. But as Reformed Christians, dear friends, we confess together that Jesus Christ is spiritually present at the table of the Lord. That Jesus, by his Holy Spirit, comes and feeds us with his body and with his blood. Jesus is not physically present at the table of the Lord. The bread and the wine do not become the physical body and blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus is physically in heaven right now, at the right hand of his Father in heaven. But from heaven he sends his Holy Spirit, and that is the Spirit of Jesus Christ, to unite us more fully, for us to feel the wounded hand of our bridegroom in the hand of his bride, you and me. Jesus sits with us and stands among us at the table of the Lord. And that's really what Lord's Day 29 of the Heidelberg Catechism is talking about. The waters of baptism don't change into grace. It's a sign and seal of God's grace. It doesn't save you in and of itself. It's a reminder. It's a pointing to the God who saves. Same with the Lord's Supper. The bread and the wine in and of themselves don't change into the body and blood of Jesus Christ, so that he's physically present there. But he is here spiritually. And if he's here spiritually, he is certainly here. We come to the table standing on holy ground. And there heaven comes to earth. Where's the intersection of heaven and earth? Right here. The intersection of heaven and earth is right at the table of the Lord. We got the right address because God has promised to be right here in order to nourish our faith, to redirect our hope to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Heaven comes down and glory fills our souls as we partake in faith. Jesus is here to assure us with a sign and pledge by his Spirit that just as our mouths taste and our hands touch the bread and the wine, so too our Lord Jesus Christ makes us more and more bone of his bones, flesh of his flesh. Boys and girls, I have a question for you. Does your dad hold your mom's hand? I hope he does. Does your mom hold your dad's hand? I hope she does. What do you think about when your mom and dad are holding hands? I hope you think my mom and dad love each other. They really love each other. They hold hands. And I know that they're together. Holding hands, boys and girls, means they belong to each other. They're husband and wife. The two are now one. And boys and girls, that's what Jesus is doing at the table of the Lord. And the bread and the wine, that's a picture that Jesus holds the hand of his bride, the church. Brothers and sisters, what is Jesus Christ doing? What he's doing is that, just unlike in our marriages, in our relationships, right? Remember, the baptism is the wedding ring Jesus promises to give us. And then what is the table of the Lord? It's his embrace. Because just like in every marriage, we go ups and downs. We have our ups and our downs in our relationships as husbands and wives. And at times we feel distant. We get out of that oneness of love. We sin against one another. We disappoint one another. We fail each other. And when we get out of fellowship, what do we want more than anything else? We want our spouse to hold our hand again. We want our spouse to embrace us, to hug us. Words are one thing. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I love you. But it's the embrace of that love that kind of seals the deal. Seals the deal. And all the ups and downs of our relationship, you know, how we've sinned against the Lord Jesus Christ again, how we've let him down, as it were. We've grieved the Holy Spirit of Jesus. And all of those ups and downs, we feel as if Jesus is distant. Jesus Christ reaches out to us and says, I'm here, and I'm here to hold your hand. And dear friends, when you leave here, you hold the hand of Jesus, you hold everything. You hold everything. You really do. Jesus is spiritually present to impress on us that heaven has come to earth and that God is reconciled with us, that we have true peace with God through the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ, that God has remembered, so we are remembering this because we are one with Him. The two have become one flesh. It's a lot like, dear friends, if God has made a, you know, you make a promise. Say, I made you a promise. I'm going to write out a promise note. I'm going to promise you to give you $100 next year on your birthday. And, you know, remembering isn't just, I remember the day that you made that promise and wrote the note. Remembering is coming on your birthday and showing you the note and then giving you the money. You know, where's the money now? That's what Jesus Christ is present to do for us. He's there in the wine and the bread, not just to say the promise, but to deliver the goods. Show me the money. Jesus Christ shows us the mercy of our God. And He does it in a tangible and a touchable way. And He's present there, dear friends, to seal to our hearts His perfect sacrifice. We don't have to add anything to it. Because to add anything to that sacrifice would be to take away something of its perfection. And this is where we parted company as Reformed Christians from the Roman Catholic Church. Because what is baptism and the Mass in the Roman Catholic Church? It's very important for us to understand this connection, dear friends. In the Roman Catholic Church, at least according to their catechism, their official statements of faith, what is baptism? Baptism for the Roman Catholic Church is God pouring grace into the life of, you know, usually the baby, right? And that regenerates the child. It saves. And then what is Mass? Mass, or their celebration of Mass is really, let's try to top that off with some more grace from God so that with the combination, you can hopefully live a life that God accepts. Maybe. Hopefully live a life God accepts. Maybe. Dear friends, we confess that the finished work of Jesus Christ is a perfect work. He said, it's finished. There's nothing more to add or to do. Jesus paid it all, we sing together. So at the table of the Lord, Jesus Christ is not re-sacrificed. At the table of the Lord, the bread and the wine do not become the physical body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, so that thereby we worship the host. That's not the host. Jesus is the host. We're to worship Him, and He is in heaven. The Mass is nothing but a denial of the one sacrifice and suffering of Christ, and a condemnable idolatry. Heaven comes to earth as Jesus is present among us to show in the symbol of communion, community. As we see here together in the text, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 17 and 18, Paul says, in the first place, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you, and I believe it in part, for there must be factions. When one comes together, you come together, verse 20, it is not the Lord's Supper that you eat. For in eating, each one goes ahead with his own meal. One goes hungry and another drunk. What? Don't you have houses to eat and drink in? Do you despise the church of God? And later on, he talks about what? Drinking together, eating together. Brothers and sisters, the church doesn't always feel like family. And that's exactly what was going on in the church at Corinth. The church at Corinth was a mess, and Jesus is sorting out that mess through the Apostle Paul. What was going on at this time was that you'd have wealthy Christians who had rather larger homes, and there would be home churches there, and you'd have this rather large living room where the wealthy Christians would have their wealthy friends over for dinner, right? And then you'd celebrate the Lord's Supper and have a love agape feast. And you'd have your cronies and your friends who were wealthy like you, rich and had connections, and you'd be celebrating together. And then you'd have an outdoor courtyard outdoors. And that was the place where the rich weren't just said, okay, you poor people over here, you're late, right, because your slave owners wouldn't let you get here on time, so you stay outside. And the rich people over here will celebrate together, and the poor over there, and there is division in the Church of Jesus Christ. The celebration of the Lord's Supper was what? Proclaiming Christ? No, it was proclaiming how rich I am and what you don't have and I do. And Paul is living what's supposed to be a symbol of our unity and have the effect of togetherness as Christians. It's become a parody. Has become what it should have never, ever been. As often as you eat and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death. That doesn't divide, but unites Christians who by faith alone are trusting in the work of Christ alone. Dear friends, church doesn't always feel like family. You know, we have our differences. We sin against one another. We disappoint one another. And it's not always a happy, warm, fuzzy feeling in the Church of Jesus Christ. But here is where we hold hands with our Savior, and in holding His hand, we are holding one another's hands to remember what unites us. All kinds of personalities, all kinds of or priorities, differences that can divide. But Jesus Christ brings us to the table to hold His hands, and in holding one another's hands, so all of the differences that are really superficial are melting away. Just as the bread melts in your mouth. All of those differences. What am I talking about? Here's what I'm talking about. Well, I'm not going to meet with that person after what she said about me or that guy did to me. I'm not going to meet with them. I'm not going to lunch after the service here, after what they did to me and did me wrong and did me dirty, or the mentally ill, the people on welfare, the immigrants. We'll let the other mentally ill, let the other poor people, let the other immigrants, the other people on welfare sit over there. We're going to sit here. I'm not sitting with any old fogies. Not that any of you are old fogies. Or I'm not sitting with that family, with those kids that act that way and it drives me crazy and I got this big migraine headache afterward. I'm not hanging out with them. All of the differences are to melt away. So we sit with one another at a common table and celebrate the unity of the bride of Jesus Christ. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body, and I believe that's what Paul is talking about, dividing up the church in all of these, with all of these superficial divisions. If you're not discerning the body, you'll eat and drink judgment on himself. I mean, there's the difference. There is the difference. Am I proclaiming Christ at the table of the Lord, or proclaiming myself and my, you know, my issues? Or am I proclaiming Christ? There's the dividing line, right, between unbelief and faith. The dividing line, am I going to be fed and nourished by Jesus Christ, or drink judgment to myself because I don't want to live by grace alone? Well, what are some of the applications then? What are takeaways? Dear friends, first of all, first takeaway, recommit your life. Recommit your life about what you've been forgetting. As Jesus Christ remembers us, we remember him holding our hand in communion. We are to remember everything we've been letting go recently. We recommit our lives to Jesus Christ. We recommit our life to what? Our commitments as professing Christians in the Church of Jesus Christ. I recommit my life to serving fully. I recommit my life, and you do too, to giving sacrificially, making disciples of the law of lost sinners, doing that zealously, showing up regularly, worshiping the Lord in church with diehard devotion. What have you been forgetting? What have you been failing to do as the body of Jesus Christ? Jesus is holding your hand. Recommit your life to your commitments as a Christian who went public for Jesus. And then secondly, hold hands with Jesus, who's always enough. He's always enough for us, dear friends. And what is Jesus Christ doing as we are tempted? We are tempted. I want to hold on a little longer with my boyfriend and girlfriend. We got to be thinking, Jesus is enough. What does he taste like? What does he feel like? He feels like a hand in my hand. I have it all. I have everything. So I can walk away. And I can wait. And I can stay pure. Because Jesus Christ is my bridegroom holding my hand. And the long, lonely nights as a widow or widower or a distant marriage, what does Jesus feel like? He feels like his hand in your hand saying, we're going to get through this together. We're getting through this together. I'm not leaving. I'm not letting go of you. And I'm leading you right now on the great adventure. I come from heaven down to earth right now. I'm taking you from earth to heaven. Hold on. I know the way. I am the way. We quietly think to ourselves, dear friends, this is the physical form of the love of Jesus Christ for me. It is Jesus Christ holding hands with me. And then finally, dear friends, it means keep your eyes open. We tend to think of communion as we're taking, as we're eating, and as we're drinking as a private experience. A private, it's personal, don't get me wrong, don't leave here thinking anything other than this, but it's not a private experience, just me and Jesus. It's for us to open our eyes as we're eating and drinking and looking around at everyone here. When we think, I wish that person was out of here. I wish this person would come here. Well, this is the chosen people of God and Jesus Christ that God wants here at Hudson Valley United Reformed Church to grow us together, to refine us together. So we keep our eyes open, looking at other sinning saints together and realizing, right, it's not about how much their car costs or their clothes costs. It's about the price tag Jesus Christ placed on their lives. And that's what we're reminded of as we see Jesus hosting us and hosting this family. at the table of his love. Dear friends, you have whatever it takes because you have Jesus Christ himself holding your hands. Amen.